Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right, well, good morning again. I'm glad to see you're still here. Every time I come out and I look to see whose face is out here, and here's what I see when I look at your face this afternoon. I see the faces of people just about ready to encounter Jesus Christ in his scriptures. And when we open our mind and we open our hearts to the authority of God's Bible and we let him move into our thoughts, he gives us a promise in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that he literally transforms us into new people by changing the way we think. And he does it by his scriptures and the work of his Holy Spirit. So today I'm going to ask that you would go ahead and just decide in advance, you will let God move into your thoughts, rearrange your thought patterns and your understanding, and let's let God do what only he can do. Would you join me in prayer as we commit this time to the Lord in prayer as well? Now, Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you as we open our hearts and minds to the authority of your scripture. We acknowledge that we've been given, Lord, a mind. We've been given the faculties to understand, and we've been given tools to engage you with comprehension. But Lord, that's not you. Your word and your Holy Spirit is what gives us understanding that comes from who you are. And so today, God, we're asking that as we open our minds and thoughts to you, Lord, that you would move in through our understanding and by your Holy Spirit cause us to glean transforming perspective and insight as you illuminate your truth in the darkness of our own mind. And we thank you in advance for life change that comes with it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right. We are in the final part of a series we've been working our way through this month called Love Does. And we celebrated last week the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And really, that's the perfect expression of what love does. Because God is love, and his love is not static. It's not there to impress us. It is a moving force of his intended will that's directly aimed at benefiting you and your eternity. And so the picture of Jesus Christ paying the redemptive price he did on the Calvary's cross for us is what we celebrated last week. And we are actually following that today. Last week we actually talked about his love was not simply on display so that he could make a point. He actually did that to invite us into relationship. And last week we looked at the process by which he went into an outcast group called tax collectors and called a man named Matthew to come and follow him. And the process by which he actually left his working concept or paradigm and into a followed relationship then that grew into life change for Matthew in a way that transformed his life forever. So we looked at that last week and we're following up that with this week called Love Invites. So today I want you to know love is not simply a statement that we saw last week of God's exclamation point, I love you and here's how you know. He's inviting us into a relationship with him. So we're going to wrap this up by looking at two groups of two men and watching how Jesus interacted with them, because today I want you to see that there's a process by which our God typically walks us through as we align our lives with his will in order to actually give him our followed yes. That's an interesting sentence in writing, I'm sure, but I hope you follow that all the way through. A couple of things I was looking at with you last week is, number one, every person who said yes to start the journey of following Jesus started by being a sinner. I don't know if that clicked very well with you last night or last week, but being a sinner does not disqualify you from following Jesus. We looked at it last week, it's almost like a prerequisite. In fact, the church people of his day couldn't follow him. They had their own ideas. It was the sinners that followed him easily. And so we really wanted you to understand the fact that Jesus looked at all of us where we were in our brokenness and said, you can follow me. In fact, starting as a sinner is how we start together. We all start that way. And the second thing we looked at is every one of those who were ultimately his apostles, his close disciples that followed him, every one of them started, and it was a while, they followed him for a while before they actually believed in him. So we looked at the idea that you can follow him for a little bit before you believe in him too. So being a sinner doesn't disqualify you, and being an unbeliever doesn't disqualify you. You can start following him. In fact, everybody who in the New Testament followed him started that way. The third thing we're looking at last Sunday, but it ultimately comes to where we do believe. Ultimately, it does become where we are born again, but we don't start that way. We start by following where we are. And then we actually walk through the process of following him, and we see that the third thing we looked at last week was Jesus' invitation then to Matthew, and we'll see the same to the four we're going to look at today. His invitation was not a religious invitation, it was a relational invitation. And so we looked at these two big groups, these two big approaches represented by the religious leaders of his day, which are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And those groups actually led with a basic paradigm of this, representing religion today. And their philosophy was, you change and then you can join us. If you'll start doing what we do, if you'll fit in, then you can join us. So you change, then you can join us. But we looked at Jesus' method and he said this, join us. And what you'll notice is you actually will change. There's something about being along with Jesus, the proximity of who he is in our lives actually then transforms us into change that actually is real, substantive, and life-changing. Does that make sense? So religion of the day, you change, then you can fit in. Jesus said, no, join, then you'll actually change. Join and then you'll change. So what I want you to realize this morning as we go through this is we're going to watch something similar happen, but we're going to ultimately look at four phases of following Jesus. But before we do that, I want you to see the biblical context that we're going into this. And I'm going to read about a historical event from two different authors in the New Testament, of the New Testament Gospels. One is Matthew, and then the other is going to be Luke, and they're both on your outlines there. So if you have your Bible, open your Bible. If you don't, open your Bible app. If you're taking notes with your handouts, your paper handouts, get those out. And I want to start looking at this because both of these accounts are the biblical accounts of the same occurrence in history, but they're different perspectives. And that's because Matthew, as a Jew, was writing to a Jewish audience who actually had enough working context of how God works that they could, by experience and cultural understanding, fill in the context gaps and just get what Matthew is really, God was trying to say through Matthew to them as a group of people who understand the Jewish traditions. Luke, on the other hand, did a lot of research and pulled a composite together through studied research and was actually writing then on behalf of other people who actually don't know everything. And we'd call them in the Bible Gentiles or unbelievers. In other words, they don't have all the context then that the group Matthew is writing to. So the reason I'm putting that out is because I want you to see that Matthew gives a very quick summary, and if you base your understanding of following Jesus just on his perspective, then it seems to, there's some gaps in the sequence. It just seems too extreme, too radical. That doesn't seem relatable to where most people live. And then we're gonna juxtapose that with what we see in the book of Luke, the account there, and we're gonna watch how really Jesus was working behind the scenes. They're both an account of the same event, but the context you'll see in Luke actually gives you a deeper understanding. So Jesus actually in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 says this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, everyone say Peter, it's gonna be important in just a few minutes, and his brother Andrew, everyone say Andrew. So here there's the picture, he's beside the Sea of Galilee and he sees these two guys and they were casting a net into the lake for they were fishermen. Verse 19 says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Verse 20, at once they left their nets and followed him. It's like, here, y'all come and follow me. They drop their nets and they just start following. Verse 21 says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, and they were preparing their nets. Jesus called them, verse 22, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. End of story. It's like, hey, y'all come follow me. Bam, I'm gone. Bye, Dad. See ya. I mean, if you just look at just the literal words in that context, it seems like these guys, instead of being religious, were being pretty irresponsible. It's like, I've got a job here. I'm going to walk off the job and go do this. In other words, there's got to be something else going on, and that's what we're going to see in the account that we see in Luke. Now, the good news is this. That actually happened. In other words, what we're seeing in the book of Matthew actually happened. It's just that's not all that happened. And God wants the people who aren't in that culture to understand a deeper layer of context. So we're going to look at this same story now that we've had the spoiler version in Matthew. Now we're going to look at the same one in Luke. We're going to slow it down experientially so you can see we know what Jesus was going to do. We know what ultimately happened, But I want us to put ourselves in the journey of the same journey, the journey of these men, but in a different gospel, in the Gospel of Luke. And let's watch what God actually does in their lives as they step by step go through the process of aligning their lives to follow him. Watch this. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 says this. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. So here we see a different picture. We see Jesus actually talking to a large crowd of people. They were listening to him teach the word of God. They were listening to him teach the scriptures. Okay. They were listening. And so we know later on there's going to be a group of men that follow Jesus. But notice what happened first. He was actually setting the whole thing up by teaching some teaching from the scriptures. These guys were close enough. They were hearing him teach. They were listening. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Following Jesus always starts with listening. Following Jesus doesn't usually start with an abrupt leaving of everything you know, but the Bible gives us the picture that faith or trust in God comes from hearing his words. So when we hear the words of God and they resonate in our spirit in a way that clicks with who he is as God, it fills our hearts with trust in him that we can actually follow him. So faith, the Bible says, comes from hearing, and hearing comes by God's word, the word of God. So Jesus was teaching and people were listening. Verse 2, he, being Jesus, saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. So now the picture is, the context in Luke's gospel is that there were a couple of boats that were pulled up on the edge, and there were fishermen who were cleaning their nets. So cleaning their nets in the daytime really gives light on the fact that they fished for fish in that particular body of water at night, because it was so deep that the water would cool off and the fish would come up to the surface where the cooler water was. And then in the daytime, the sun would heat the top of the water up and the fish would go down a little bit and the nets wouldn't reach them. So they would fish in the nighttime. And then when the sun came up and the fish started going deep, then they would wrap it up for the day and they would come in with whatever they caught. And they would put a couple of sticks up, big wooden poles or something along those lines, hang their nets on them and start cleaning the nets off so that they could dry properly, they could be rolled up and be ready for fishing the next day. So that's what was going on while just a little bit down, close enough that they could all see each other, Jesus was teaching. So here's the fishermen cleaning their nets, listening to Jesus teach. Jesus sees the boats and he says, he got into one of the boats belonging to Simon, who we know as to be what? Peter. And he asked him to put it out a little bit from the shore. In other words, Jesus said, hey, Peter, I know you're busy cleaning your nets, trying to get it wrapped up for the day, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Could you loan me your boat? Can I inconvenience you just a little bit to loan me your boat so that I could actually move away from the crowd a little bit, see a bigger view of who I'm teaching, and we could keep moving forward? And so we don't know whether Peter tied a line to the boat and pushed him out. We don't know if he actually got out in the boat with him. It's not specifically crystal clear how it all worked, but we know that Peter loaned him the boat. And so the main thing I want to connect with you on this is that Peter actually loaned, he went through the inconvenience of stopping what he was doing, learning the boat. I personally think he was out in the boat with him, but that's the picture. So he sat down, Jesus then sat down, taught the people from the boat. All right, now, when he finished speaking, he said something to Simon. Okay, remember when we read the spoiler alert in Matthew, we know that Jesus ultimately says, hey, come and follow me. Y'all remember that part? Okay, look, pause for a second. I grew up Pentecostal, which means I need a little feedback from everybody. A little amen every once in a while makes the sermon go faster. So if you don't want to preach long, give me some amens every once in a while, and it just greases the skids a little bit, moves along. All right, so thank you. All right, so we know from the spoiler alert what Jesus was going to do, and he could have said it at any time, but now we're in Luke's account, and we see that there is a context unfolding. We know what Jesus was going to say, but he didn't choose to say it. Here, he said something else. When he had finished speaking, he didn't say, hey, come and follow me. I know I've inconvenienced you already just a little bit. Now would you come and follow me? Because you're impressed with my teachings. You like that teaching? Now come and follow me. He didn't do it that way. He said this, hey, let's go out and fish. Literally, he said, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Let down your nets for a catch. In other words, It's important to catch this. He was asking Peter to do something he had done a lot before, but do it his way. In other words, Peter had been out on the deep a lot, but almost always at night, because that's when you fish, right? Generally speaking, at night, and he would do it his way. But Jesus said, I want you to go out now and do it my way. Do it my way. A couple of things that I think we can draw from this. Number one, everybody knew you didn't fish during the daytime in that particular spot. And so Peter's probably thinking, okay, now listen, you're a good teacher and everything. And I've already let you borrow my boat to have a better pulpit. And all that's fine. And I like your sermon pretty good and all of that kind of stuff. But the reality is, everybody knows you're a carpenter. I'm the fisherman. I know how this works. You stick to what you do. I'll do the fishing. So, and the other part of it was, they obviously finished. It was daytime. They're drying their nets. So now, Jesus is saying, hey, get your net. Let's go fishing. And so he's got these two conflicts in his mind. Number one, I'm finished. I'm finished what you do when you're finished fishing. And when the fish finish biting, you finish fishing. Then you go to the back, you take your boat to the shore, you hang your nets up, and then you clean them. I'm finished cleaning them. I don't want to go through that whole process again to go back out to do something I know won't work. That's probably what he's thinking, right? What's interesting, though, was he answered politely. So Simon answered, Master, which is a term of respect for teachers, then rabbi, teachers, master. Those are polite, official terms to acknowledge a person's office of being a teacher. So he was polite in his response. He said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Haven't caught anything. So right there, he says, we've already done this. I'm the pro. It didn't work. The fish that might have been there are already gone. It's not going to work. And Jesus actually has the nerve to say when he shows up to Peter in that context, I know I've already asked you to be inconvenienced a little bit by borrowing your boat. Now I'm going to ask you to do something you don't think will actually work because it doesn't work that way. And it sounds like Jesus has a lot of nerve. Like, you got a lot of nerve asking me this. What was really at stake, however, was whether or not Peter could trust Jesus. When it comes right down to it, the question is, can Peter trust Jesus? Because this seems like a lot to ask. So he answered this way. I don't think it's going to work, but because you say so, not because I think it'll work, not because I think this is a good idea, not because I was just looking for something else to do, not because I wanted 1,000 people who are watching you to think I'm an idiot by going back out in the middle of the day, not because my reputation is going to be tarnished, not because any of those, but because there's a little something that I picked up when I was listening to you teach that gave me the little bit of gumption to say, okay, you can borrow my boat. Okay, I've picked up some things along. You're pretty good at this, so because you said so, we're going to do this. I'll let down the nets. Now, pause the story. We know the spoiler version, but go back to Luke's verse. You don't know what's going to happen next. At this point, all you know is that Jesus has just asked Peter to do something that seemed out of the norm, out of the ordinary, out of the rationale. This is stupid. Why would you ever do it this way? What's hanging in the balance is how is Peter going to respond? What will he do with trusting Jesus? Now, what he doesn't know that's hanging in the balance is everything that you and I now know about Peter. Because at this point in the story, you guys, Peter's just a dude that fishes for a living. That's all he is. He's not apostle anybody. He's just dude that fishes for a living at this point, right? We know what he doesn't know at this point. Because if he'd have said no, it might have been Apostle Frank. We don't know. But he had some level of willingness to say yes here. But just for fun, because this is how we often want God to do it for us, we expect God to do it this way. Like Jesus would like say, hey, Peter, I want you to go fishing. Now imagine, here's what will come if you'll say yes. I want you to do this, but here's what will come if you say yes. So let's go fishing, Peter. And if you do, this will happen. You're like, what's that? That's St. Peter's Basilica. And you're St. Peter. What's that? It's your tomb. It's going to take them 118 years to build this. People are going to come from all over the world because you're going to be the rock. You're going to be known as one of the heads of the church. It's going to be amazing. Someday people will know that I'm the Messiah. Right now you don't. But if you'll do this for me, this is going to happen for you. Take a look inside. It's spectacular. Just look at the scale of it. It's immense, and it's all for you because you're going to, I'm asking you to take me fishing. So Peter, with all this at stake, would you take me fishing? He's like, yeah. And you got the boat too. If that's what's going to come from it, isn't that what we want God to do for us when we ask, when he says, hey, would you take this step with me? We want God to lower the screen and show us all the history that's going to come from our yes. Okay, you probably don't. I do. I always want this. What was hanging on his decision in that moment was everything 2,000 years of history now includes. But he didn't know it. He was on the process of being connected with something on the inside of him that said, I'm listening to you teach. Okay, you can inconvenience me a little bit. You can borrow my boat. Okay, I guess I'll go fishing with you. Now, look what happened. Verse 6 says this, when they had done so, everyone say done so. In other words, when they actually did what Jesus asked, not when they thought about it, not when they contemplated deeply, not when they considered it and had a conversation, had a small group, went to coffee and explored the ideas, not when they prayed about it, not when they imagined doing it, not when any of that stuff, it's when they actually did what Jesus said, then something happened. Right? Because we're like, well, I prayed about it. You didn't do it though. It's when we do what Jesus said that opens the door of how he works. So Peter didn't know all this stuff. He just thought, okay, I'm going to go on this ridiculous little excursion. We're going to wet the nets one more time. It's going to come up. So he probably wasn't filled with faith at all. He was just going through this because he's like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll do this one time. But when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners to come in with the other boat to help them. And they came in and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So now it's like, whoa, fish, like help, fish, like it's not supposed to happen. Come help, fish. So the other partners come in, and we already know who these other guys are because we just read about them in Matthew's spoiler version. We already know that. But now we're unfolding this real time because I want you to see the sequence of how this happens. When, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, and the natural tendency at that point would be to get so amped about the fish. He's like, hey, we don't have to fish. Hey, Dad, we don't have to fish for a month. We got fish for days. I mean, come on. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to go to Disney. It's going to be awesome. That's a laugh line. You're supposed to laugh right there. Oh, this crowd doesn't like Disney. I get it. It's so expensive. I know. But when Peter saw this, something clicked. Because for him, in an instant, it was no longer about fish or fishing. Look at what the text actually says. When he saw this, instantly his perspective of Jesus changed. And he fell at Jesus' knees and said, get away from me, Lord. Not master, not teacher, not rabbi, not good qualified instructor. But now all of a sudden, oh, you're the Lord. And I am a sinful man. In an instant, something transformed in Peter's perspective. And he went from being Peter the fishing dude to Peter the follower. That's the moment that the relationship between Peter and Jesus actually clicked. Do y'all see that? He'd spent hours with him listening. He was inconvenienced, but he was not ready to actually do anything at that point until this happened. Until this happened. Verse 9 says, for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Now, everyone look at this next word. What's the next word? Then. Everyone say then. Then. Then In other words, now that Peter's eyes were opened, now that people really saw what was going on, now Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, in other words, I have a future for you. And now I can tell you about it. I knew what your future was, but you weren't ready to actually hear it. You weren't ready to follow me until now. But now that you see who I am and who you are and the connection of my invitation, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. Now I can tell you what I couldn't tell you before. Think of all that hung in the balance of that one decision. Peter had no idea what was going on that day. He just knew that he showed up. He came in from the night's work. He was hanging his nets, cleaning his nets. There was some teaching going on. He started listening to the teaching. The teacher said, hey, can I borrow your boat? Hey, that's kind of an inconvenience. I don't know, because I'm kind of busy doing the nets, but I like your teaching. Okay, you can borrow the boat. Now it's an inconvenience, but I'll go out on the boat with you. Then at the end of this, okay, now let's go fishing. Nah, that's just too much. It doesn't work that way. But I've kind of listened a little bit, and because I'm willing to do this once, and so now all of a sudden, because he was able to take those steps, something happened on the other side of that yes that transformed his perspective, and he saw Jesus. But it wasn't until he said yes that he saw him in that context. Verse 11 says, so then they pulled up their boats on shore and left everything and followed him. At that point, they were actually ready to leave what they thought was normal and actually follow. But it wasn't because Jesus just showed up so one day and said, hey, y'all follow me. Jesus walked them through a sequence of experiences. And as a result of the yes to the first one, yes to the second one, yes to the third one, they were actually able to say with faith in their hearts, we trust you because we recognize you are the Lord. You're the Lord. To which you're like, well, Matthew, if you'd have said it that way, we'd have understood. But when we read it in Matthew's account, it's like Jesus just popped on the edge of us and said, hey, y'all follow me, which sounds like some church structures that says, don't ask any questions, just come my way. But Jesus doesn't operate that way. Faith in God is not blind faith. It's not necessarily irrational faith. The Bible is given to us as God's word to speak to us and to teach us how things work. So God's going to speak to us through his Bible. And layer by layer, moment by moment, little by little, there will be enough building context on us that we can say, okay, then I'll take that step. Then I'll take that step. I'm willing to take that step. I'll start listening first. In fact, let's actually look at these four stages. The first stage of following Jesus is the sit and listen stage. The sit and listen stage. And in fact, the fact that you're here today, listening to this message, many of you have actually taken a step towards following Jesus and you didn't even realize it. Your friend or your family member just said, hey, you should come to church with me. You didn't realize you're actually in perhaps the beginning phases of actually following Jesus, but it starts that way for everybody. And if you were thinking, hey, what should I do? Because I'm sensing a little something, what should I do? I would say a big bold step for you would be just come back next Sunday and listen some more. Just keep listening. Keep listening. Keep listening to the teachings of Jesus. Keep listening to his words. Why? Because that everybody starts by listening. But that's not the end. We start by listening. The next step, there's always a step of inconvenience where God says, hey, I want you to do this. Ah, it's kind of too much trouble. Like for some of you, you may be actually in the loan him your boat stage. Where like Peter, he said, hey, can I borrow your boat? I know it's going to mess up your plans. You were trying to get to Starbucks, then you wanted to go get the matinee. But I'm going to delay you for a little bit. Is that going to be okay? Well, okay. Kind of an inconvenience. And for some of you, it may be like, you know it's time to take your next step forward. And that next step may be every day you open up your Bible or your Bible app and you go to the New Testament and you start reading. And maybe you don't even know what you're reading, but it's just the step. It's kind of an inconvenience. It may take you 10 or 15 minutes out of your day. You're not sure if it's going to be worth it or not, but it's kind of an inconvenience. But you know you're at that stage where you've listened. And you could tell there's another step coming, and God's saying, hey, the next step for you, I want you to meet me in your Bible, in my Bible, and I want to talk to you. Some of you have been around LifeLink maybe several weeks or a few months, some of you a few years, and you still haven't said yes to being a part of the family. Your next step is go through Growth Track. Ah, it's kind of an inconvenience. I got to go to the 10 o'clock service, and I'm the 12 o'clock crowd. Now, four Sundays is not too inconvenient. You're like me? Yes. Some of you actually may be at that spot. Well, that's not the way I want to do it. Well, I don't know what's hanging in the balance of your yes either, but I will tell you this. At some point, whatever family God puts you in, there will be something that God actually walks you through to connect with that family and be a part of it. At LifeLink, if you visit LifeLink a time or two or a month or two or a year or two, there will be a moment where it says, this is my home. And when you get to that spot, your next step, big, bold step, 4 weeks in Growth Track. In fact, next Sunday is step one. And I'm not too ashamed to tell you, I think most of you listening today who have not been through Growth Track, it's probably you're a step two person. I would encourage you to be here next Sunday at 10, go through step one, then come to the 12 o'clock service. I said 10, didn't I? It's really 10:15. It's really usually at 10:15. But you should be here at 10, have a cup of coffee, and then go to the Growth Track. How's that? That's called being fast on my feet. I knew something wasn't right. Some of you are in the step three, the take in fishing phase. This is the phase where you've already listened to him teach for a while. You could tell I've took the step of inconvenience. Now he's going to say, now listen, I'm going to ask you to do this one thing my way. I'm going to ask you to take care of this one thing, but do it my way. And I can tell you from decades of ministry experience that this particular step usually, not always, but often finds that the fishing that God does is in one of these three different areas. It's probably relational. In other words, there's some relationships you need to, that God's going to say, I want you to change that relationship. We're going to break that relationship up. I want you to think differently about that. I want you to start a different life. I want you to fix your relationship with your mom. I want you to ask forgiveness for your dad. It's usually a forgiveness issue or a rearrangement of a relationship issue. So often it's a relationship issue or it's a professional issue, a vocational issue. There's something that you're doing at work. Maybe you're cutting corners, you're getting lots of bonuses, but you're actually being unethical, or you're not paying your taxes or something along those lines in your business. I'm not sure, but a lot of times it's either relational or occupational, something professional that God wants you to fix and actually do it right, even though it's probably gonna cost you. But he'll say, nope, I know everybody does it that way. Everybody fishes at night, but we fish in the daytime. I want you to do it this way. I'm not sure what that feels like for you, but if that's the area God's gonna fish with you on, you'll know it. The third area is often financial, where God says, I want you to start tithing, or I want you to start giving, I want you to be more generous. Like, oh, I can't afford it, I'm not sure. And all I can tell you is, I'm not sure which of those three areas it may be, but I will tell you, if you're in the step three, it's probably gonna be in one of those three. And you already know which one it is, and you can just kind of feel it. In fact, you can tell it's you because you're really hoping I'll hurry up and get past this point. It's okay. A lot of us have been there. What I will hope for you is you'd have the courage that it takes to say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to go fishing with you. I'm going to stop that subscription. I'm going to change I'm not going to go to the bar with the boys anymore. I'm not going to hang out with that group anymore. I'm going to get off the online gambling sites. I'm going to quit looking at the porn sites. I'm going to quit doing this issue. I'm going to start doing this. Or I'm going to start tithing. I have no idea what the fishing thing is for you. But if you're at this stage, you already know. And my encouragement to you is this. Whatever Jesus has said, hey, let's do it my way. I hope for you that you'll give him the yes it takes to step into that spot. You know why? Because there is something extraordinary hanging in the balance of your yes in the fishing expedition Jesus wants to do with you. And then finally, some of us are at the leave our nets stage, which is, I've already been through step one through three a few times. It's like, okay, the Lord got this part. God, I'll give you this part of my life, but not this part. Okay, Lord, I'll give you this part of my life, but not that part. God, I'll give you that part of my life. You can have all three of these parts, but not this one part. This one part is all mine. And a lot of times people go through those cycles where you go through one through three in several different areas of your life, but finally it just dawns on us where Jesus, you know what? I recognize you're the one knocking on the walls of my heart. That's you. And I'm at the spot where I'm willing to say, God, no matter what, all that I am and all that I have is yours. I'm willing to leave the nets. I'm willing to actually follow you. Just say, what do you want with my time? What do you want with my gifts? What do you want with my life? I'm yours. So some of us are at that spot. I have no idea. But one more time, think about this. What's hanging in the balance of your yes? if you don't give him your yes, you may never know. But what I do know is if you give him your yes, you'll never regret it. If you'll give Jesus your yes, whatever step you're on, you won't regret it. Some of you need to come back next Sunday and listen again. Just keep listening, because following always starts with listening. Some of you need to actually take the step of loaning Jesus your boat. And for many of you, that's Grill Chuck next Sunday. Others, it may be some discipleship issues and whatnot, the inconvenience of reading the Bible every day. And I'm not sure what that is, but I want to encourage you, take that step too. Some of you, it's the go fishing, take him fishing. I'm not sure which of those three areas God's talking to you on, but you probably know it. Or some of you, you're at the leave your net stage where you're like, okay, God, no more messing around. Here's my whole life. So again, I don't know where you are, but my prayer for you today is wherever you are, have the courage to say yes. I'm gonna pray for you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness. God, when we give you our little bit of faith that we have that comes when we listen a little bit more. We have the courage to let you inconvenience a little bit, start that reading or take that class or whatever that looks like. When we let you inconvenience a little bit more. And then we actually let you take us to a spot where we go fishing with you and we follow you your way. Whatever that takes, or that little bit of faith that we have in our heart that lets us say yes to that, when that little bit of faith intersects with your faithfulness, profound transformation happens. And God, you open our understanding, you open our perspective, and you do what only you can do. So God, today I pray for every person listening, whether they're here in the auditorium or they're streaming the service live. I'm asking God, you would give every person listening the courage to say yes to your voice, whatever phase they're in. And I thank you for what yes brings in their life. Now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to just pray with those of you that you know it is your day to say yes to Jesus. No one looking around. I just ask it in your own heart, in your own private, quiet time right now. You would ask yourself the question, is this my day to say no kidding yes to Jesus, to ask him to forgive me for my sins, to turn my life around and submit to his lordship and to follow him? Quit playing games and say yes to Jesus in a life-changing way. If that's you, in about 15 seconds, we're going to pray together. I'm going to ask that you would say yes in your spirit, yes in your heart, and then pray out loud as we pray. The Life Change Forever we're going to pray is asking God to forgive us, thanking Jesus for dying on the cross, asking him to forgive us for all of our sins, come into our hearts and lead us forward as our God. And I believe every one of you that are at the point of saying yes to Jesus today can pray that prayer with no problem at all. In fact, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to join me and everybody else praying this prayer out loud together. Heavenly Father, come on everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to give me the truth of your scripture. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to give your life, dying on the cross for my sins. Today, I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you would wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you. No turning back. That you would come into my heart, lead me forward as my only God and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Let's celebrate today.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.